Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, Editor-in-Chief of Boat International, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones, our Features Director.
Hi, I mean, I feel like navigate through the world of news this week is a particularly big challenge, but yeah, here to do my best, certainly.
Well, there's really only one destination to navigate to at the moment, yeah. And that is, of course, the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, our feelings about which we made very clear, obviously, in the last week's podcast. It's absolutely awful. It's terrifying. It's horrific. And it's a little hard to focus on anything else at the moment, other than what's happening in Ukraine. So I think in the first 10 days or so of the conflict, people in the superyacht industry were staying pretty tight-lipped. Maintaining a watching brief is the term. But now some statements are starting to be issued and positions clarified. But before we get into that, we thought it would be instructive to see just how exposed the superyacht industry is to the Russian market. And with Western companies pulling out of Russia, now even this morning McDonald's follows Netflix and various other consumer businesses leaving the country or suspending business in the country. The pressure to do no business with any Russian is becoming pretty intense, which will have definite repercussions in superyachting, because Russians obviously make up a good sized chunk of the market. But just how big a chunk do they take up? So for this, we examined our annual global order book, which tracks all superyachts over 24 meters in build or on order globally. So we count, at the last count, which was published in the January issue of the magazine out this year, we counted 1,024 superyachts in build around the world, which was a record after a few really quite incredible years for the superyacht industry. So of that 1,024, 11.1% were ordered by Russian owners, a percentage which rises as you start to go up through the size categories. So Russian owners account for 12.3% of all 30-meter plus boats in build, 15.1% of all 40-meter plus boats in build, and 16.7% of all yachts over 50 meters in build, of which there are around 120 in total, according to Boat Pro data. So that's around 20 boats over 50 meters ordered by Russian owners, which obviously poses quite some risk to the shipyards building those boats. So obviously we don't know what's going to happen to those superyacht projects. It might just be that they are put on hold, or who knows. So we'll keep an eye on that and bring you information when we have it. I mean, even just practically, even if the money could have been made selling kale, who knows. That owner might just have trouble getting his money out of Russia because there are so many sanctions in place. We'll just have to see. But like I said, we'll bring you information when we have it. Apologies, everyone, for butting in here for this quick correction, but we got those stats just a little bit wrong. We actually count 176 superyachts over 50 meters in build, of which around 29 are financed by Russian owners.
Yeah, well, we'll go on to talk about statements in a bit, because this has been the week that people have come out saying things, either passing comment or just trying to sort of distance themselves. And you could definitely get it, seeing our inboxes kind of flood this week, you can definitely sense the panic in some people kind of just issuing statements, essentially saying, we don't know what to say, or we're going to say something soon. So that's all been sort of kicking off, and you can tell that people aren't quite sure what to say from a PR perspective as well. But I think the thing to come back to is that 20 boats over 50 metres are ordered by Russian owners. So that is quite considerable, really, when you think about it in terms of the scale of those boats. And obviously, we're all kind of guessing here, but my sense is that the superyacht industry is such a small one, really, that even a few kind of dominoes falling, even if a few of those yards really struggle, that's going to cause quite a significant shift that affects everyone once, if and when that happens. like you say, we kind of wait to see. But I would be so surprised if this didn't cause some serious headaches for everyone. And we haven't even looked there. We haven't talked about charters. So we know that Russians like to charter boats. We know that this was a kind of jam-packed charter season coming up. I don't know what's going on with the bookings there, not to mention things like the cost of fuel and what's happening in that arena. But of course, like it's all for everyone, it's going to throw up some real challenges. But that's saying nothing of the tragedy of all this, which is kind of inescapable. And it's so shocking and awful. Like you say, it's hard to think about anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And charter's something we are trying to get a handle on now. It's not easy to... The picture is unclear. And what we don't want to do is just start punting out, you know, speculative or, you know, just not very helpful information or, you know. So we're trying to get some people to give us a bit of an insight into how this upcoming charter season might be affected. And we'll probably end up tackling that in an upcoming podcast. But yeah, like you said, knowing what to say is very, very difficult for the shipyards at the moment. But there have been a few statements issued. So San Lorenzo came out and signalling quite early that Russian clients accounted for less than 10% of its order backlog over three financial years. The yard added that the payments are regular as of today and no order has been cancelled. Not to be outdone, the Ferretti Group issued a statement this morning. We're recording this a day early than we usually do on the 9th of March. That's a Wednesday. So the Ferretti Group said it had revenue exposure of less than 3% to the areas currently involved in the conflict. The company added that it had no exposure at all in the mega yacht and gig yacht segment, as it calls them.
So should we talk a bit about the boats that we know have been seized then? Because there are so many rumours about these at the moment. And like you said, we're trying to kind of only put out there what's 100% verifiable and what we know to be true. And there's three that we know of and can confirm, right?
Well, yeah, we can only count three. I mean, but you look at the headlines, New York Times, The Times, Daily Mail, Wall Street Journal, all over the place, you know, super yachts being seized all over the Med. Yep, but we can only count three. They are Lena, 40.8 meter San Lorenzo, which was seized in Italy on the 5th of March. Lady M, a 64 meter Palmer Johnson, seized in Italy on the 4th of March. And Amore Vero, the 85.6 meter Ocean Coast, seized in France on March the 2nd. There's lots of other speculation about other boats, but according to us, according to the information, the best information we can get hold of at the moment, there's been only three super yachts seized by authorities. So the headlines not quite aligning with what the facts on the ground at the moment, I would say, in terms of super yacht seizures. But, you know, it's not stopping lots of journalists reaching out to me saying, well, where are all these boats being seized and what's going to happen to them? Are they going to be cut up and used for spare parts and things like that? So it's all getting a touch hysterical. But you know, we'll update our website when we hear of more of these seizures and keep you posted. Meanwhile, a few crew agencies have come out with statements about the situation. Monique Dykstra, founder and director of Saltwater Recruitment, said her company had suspended recruitment services to any Russian-owned vessels that could potentially be linked to the Russian government and the situation in Ukraine. She added that if the superyacht industry takes a stand, we may be able to put a bit of pressure on some of the most influential people in Russia who may have helped fund this war. Meanwhile, Michael Jacobs, MD of the crew agency, took a similar tack, saying it would be immediately suspending all recruitment projects on all superyachts that may be deemed to have links to affiliation with or influence on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Both agencies said, this is incredibly important, obviously, that if any crew out there are feeling vulnerable or isolated or in need of any support whatsoever, to reach out to them. Just really double underline that. If you have any questions at all, reach out to the experts and get some advice quickly. So we thought, as well as just digging into, you know, what's happening, the potential negative impacts on the superyacht industry that this all might have, it would be great to talk about some of the wonderful things the superyacht industry is actually doing proactively to make the situation a little bit better. And Charlotte, you've got some information on that.
Absolutely. Like you say, it's kind of great to see people rallying together within the industry and doing what they can to help. So some of the biggest brokerage firms have been working together to try and coordinate donations, obviously for the millions of refugees that have been displaced by the war in Ukraine. So Fraser's been leading the movement in Monaco, and supporting them has been Edmonton, IYC, Ocean Independence, Northrop & Johnson, Wyco and Yotsu. And they've been collecting blankets and bedding, sleeping bags and tents, warm clothing, toothbrushes, food, sanitary products, all the kind of things that you'll see being donated here in the UK. So they've been sort of bringing that all together to try and get that to the right place at the right time. The initiative was actually started by Eva Petz, who's the chief financial officer of Superyachts Monaco, and Ian Petz, who's the head of yachting and aviation at Equiem Group. So those two, together with Marcella de Kern of Onboard Monaco and other members of the community, altogether that team has been instrumental in organising the collections and securing drivers to take donations to the Ukrainian-Polish border. So if you're in Monaco, definitely get in touch with them. So de Kern initially reached out to her network via social media. Obviously, we're all seeing terrible scenes there, but it's good to know that can start some really positive change as well. She said that they had been completely overwhelmed, and that just in over, you know, a couple of days, they'd been able to receive over 500 boxes to get over there. And she said it is incredible how the yachting community has been able to get together and help. And in the last week, several truckloads of donations have been sent to the Polish border, and the collections are actually continuing at Fraser's Monaco office. But it's not just going on in Monaco. Outside of Monaco, the Genoa Superyacht Hub has been collecting relief supplies, which are being sent to Western Ukraine as well. And San Lorenzo has made a donation to the relief effort too. Meanwhile, a Facebook group named Yachties for Ukraine was set up by Petra Untia, who's the founder of crew consultancy Vibrant Yachting. And this is a kind of forum for yacht crew to share useful information, as well as advice with those who've been affected by the conflict, as well as details of donation drop-off points and available accommodation to house refugees. So some really great stuff to going on there. We'll keep, as we hear of other things, we'll keep posting it online. If you're doing something that we should know about, let us know. And yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, that's really important. So just to double underline that, by the time this podcast comes out, there'll be a story on the boatinternational.com website, you know, highlighting some of these great initiatives and ways people can help. But if yours isn't included, please reach out, and I'm sure we can add that to the story, which we'll just update constantly. The email address is podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the wider news, kicking off with the story on Stuart's favourite subject, NFTs. And this is the news that Cloud Yachts, Gregory Marshall and Delta Marine have teamed up to present a 63-metre superyacht project called Project Metaverse that will be available to purchase both as an NFT and as a new build with Denison Yachting. So it's being offered as an NFT on a blockchain for a staggering $95 million. If sold, the project would be the highest price ever paid for an NFT. Gregory Marshall, of course, is a big name who we know very well. He designed the 80-metre multi-award-winning Artifact, which we talk about a lot on this podcast. Meanwhile, North American shipyard Delta Marine are going to be building the vessel. Marshall said of the project, "It was clear to make Project Metaverse real, we would need a creative broker who not only has the clients, but can also effectively communicate the experience and technology we are offering. Knowing Alex Clark's impressive superyacht sales history, we believe he is the guy for this monumental task." So that's what he said. It is a monumental task. And Clark, of course, is with Denison. But he himself seems to be looking forward to the challenge. He said, "When I first heard about the Gregory Marshall NFT new build project, I knew I had to be involved, as I feel this will be a groundbreaking project and implement a shift in the way yachts are built and sold." So we wait with bated breath to see what happens there. And if you're heading to Palm Beach Boat Show at the end of the month, then you can check it out there, where it's going to make its official debut. For now, or if you're not heading there, you can still have a proper look at the boat on our site. And it's very cool, actually. And I'll definitely be nicking one of the images for my pool porn feature coming up, because there's a very cool pool with a waterfall on board, as well as lots of fun looking kit.
I will be heading to the Palm Beach Boat Show in a couple of weeks. So I look forward to catching up with the guys from Denison and Zach from Cloud Yacht and Greg Marshall there. NFTs. I kind of have a love-hate thing going on with the whole concept at the moment, mainly because I don't understand it fully.
Cloud yachts are kind of the name to know there, though, aren't they? Right, they've done other stuff in this space before.
Yeah, that's right. So they sold some NFTs at Miami Yacht Show. So we've been talking to them a bit about various things, and look, it's no bad thing to keep abreast of what's going on. The more I learn, the more I don't understand. It seems to me slightly with NFTs, but maybe that says more about my brain power than anything else. All right, moving on to the great news that British shipyard Pendennis has welcomed the 58-metre explorer yacht Seawolf to its Falmouth shipyard as the yacht prepares to undergo an extensive refit. According to Pendennis, the project will include exterior styling modifications, extensive engineering and electrical work, and a full repaint of the hull and superstructure. The yacht will also be outfitted with new luxury guest and crew interiors. First delivered by Dutch yard J&K Smit in 1957, the classic superyacht began its life as an ocean-going tug before being converted into a superyacht between 1998 and 2004. Her last refit was in 2016. Pendennis Managing Director Toby Allies said the whole team at Pendennis is really pleased to welcome Seawolf and her crew to Falmouth this week. The scope and scale of the project is really exciting for us and will utilise many of our in-house trade specialists. We're looking forward to working on Seawolf and delivering her back to her owners for her next adventure. And that will be in summer 2023 when the refit is due to be complete.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to seeing that. And we'll finish the news with some more positive news, which is that Lloyd Werft, which filed for bankruptcy in January this year, has found a buyer, or two, in fact. They are Bremen contractor Kurt Zeck and Bremerhaven steelwork contractor Thorsten Ronner. So they had some competition. It's understood that UAE builder Alsea Marine also bid for the contract, but Bremerhaven Lord Mayor Melf Grants had spoken out in favour of the Ronazek group, so perhaps that's what sealed the deal. The contract was signed on March the 4th, and for now, what's going to happen to the 300 people employed by Lloyd Werft remains unclear. Watch this space.
I'm glad you took that story on with all the German.
I was really trying to take it all in my stride there, but it's not my strong point.
I thought you'd been great, actually. I was I thought, oh, she's definitely going to trip up on that one. But
you're going to get some angry letters from all the people involved in that story.
No, I think you nailed it. Nailed it.
Thanks a lot. Should we talk about data?
Yeah, let's do data. As ever, I've got to give our boat pro plug.
Go on.
So our data story, as ever, brought to you by Boat Pro, the super industry's leading market intelligence service. Take it away, Charlotte.
Okay. So moving away from Europe for a moment, and we thought we'd look at the UAE instead, given that it's the Dubai Boat Show and many of you will be heading out there. Our team are out there, so if you bump into them, say hello. And in the meantime, let's take a look at the boats. So we're looking at the whole UAE fleet, yachts built in the UAE. So there's 117 of them, total LOA of 4,256, average LOA of 36.4 metres, and an average age of 9.16 years. So the fleet is nearly exclusively composed of motor yachts, excepting a couple of dhows. And it's worth noting that it's relatively young. So, you know, average age of 9.16 years, if you look at that in comparison with the average age for Italian yachts, which is about 15 years, or American yachts, they have an average age of about 30. So it's quite a young fleet, really. But that doesn't mean boring boats. In fact, the largest yacht built in the UAE is Dubai, the third largest yacht in the world, following Azam and Eclipse. And that's owned by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the ruler of Dubai, of course, and vice president, sort of prime minister of the United Arab Emirates. To be accurate, strictly speaking, she was started in Germany, Dubai, but the outfitting took place in UAE. So looking at shipyards then, the main shipyard out there is Gulfcraft with a fleet above 24 metres of 83 yachts. Their flagship was delivered last year, the Majesty 175, which is called Serenity MRF today. So if we take a look at what's in build, in the latest global order book, the UAE had 9 projects under construction, coming mainly from Gulfcraft. It's worth noting, in fact, that the 17th unit of the Gulfcraft's Majesty, it's a 31.7 metre 100 series, has already been sold. So they're storming away there, 17 of them already sold. Another interesting newcomer worth keeping an eye on is Abu Dhabi Shipbuilding and their project Nautilus. So together with Snow Yachts, they're set to build a 45-metre Nautilus shadow vessel after signing a contract at the Monaco Yacht Show. It was sold to one of Snow's existing customers. You can take a look at it on our website now. It's a pretty cool looking thing. And it's going to be built at the ADSB shipyard in the UAE and then will complete its outfitting at Snow's facility in Italy. It's got a kind of military explorer feel about it. It's got a very cool grey hull with space for a helipad on the aft, storage for tenders located on the aft deck, and the upper deck features wraparound glazing with two outdoor lounge areas. Anyway, back to the data and a few final stats to finish off with, looking at the top 101 largest yachts in the world and how the UAE fits into that. Of these boats, 9 yachts are owned by UAE owners, in third place after Russia and the USA. So the top 101, of course, comes out every year in our January issue. If we're looking at those, 9 of these boats are owned by UAE owners, in third place after the USA and Russia. These include the longest in the world, the 181-metre Azam, and the third largest, which we mentioned earlier, the 162-metre Dubai. So there we have it, a new but important fleet with its owners known for loving particularly large yachts. A number of new marinas have cropped up there over recent years, and there's a lot of marine development going on in that part of the world, which we've discussed before on the pod. So we'll be watching closely to see which of these new players really takes off, and of course letting you know who seems to be getting the most interest at this year's boat show.
Thanks, Charlotte. Yeah, we do have some representation. So Sophia, our acting deputy editor, was struck down with norovirus. So she couldn't make the flight to the Dubai boat shows. But some of you might follow an Instagram account called The Yacht Writer. So it's run by Katia Damborski, who has been in the yachting industry for a little while. So she started as our news and features writer on Monday. It was really one of those journalistic, you got your passport on you moments, because within 24 hours of starting her employment at Boats International, she was off to the Dubai Boat Show to represent us there and write some stories from Dubai and take some meetings. So hopefully if you're listening to this and you're still at the show, you get a chance to run into Katja, say hello, welcome her, and wish her all the best for her time at Boat International.
So that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget out to check out our big boat interview on Monday, which I think will be with Alex Jimenez, aka The Yacht Guy, another big Instagram sensation.
Yeah, talk about the original yacht super yachting influencer. So I'm having a chat with Alex in about an hour, in fact.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. In the meantime, don't forget to like and subscribe. And maybe even you'd like to leave a nice comment or send us an email. We'll see you next time.
Take care. See you next time.